The message here today is here listed on the board, the perfect gift. And for maybe some that are listening in to this message, if there is, there may be a few times when you don't quite understand what's going on here. But we have three gifts here in the front. And a manger scene on the one side. And so we'll be looking at some of these gifts. This message is for all of us. I want it to reach each one of our hearts. But primarily, I want to be speaking to you as older children, to all of you children, but maybe some of you older children and even teenagers. This message is particularly geared for you. It has spoken to my heart, and I pray that it will speak to yours as well. Interesting question that I heard someone just a day or two ask. And it wasn't quite like this, but I'm going to ask you this question. Other than Christ's birth, other than the true meaning of Christmas, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Christmas, when you hear Christmas? We know it should be Jesus. We know that. And that's what this whole... But what are some other things that come to your mind? Just tell me, what is it that comes to your mind other than that?
Red and green.
Okay, red and green. You don't have to be embarrassed because it's all around us, all right?
Snow.
We've seen a little bit on top of the mountain this morning. You see that from a distance? Yes, okay. Goodies.
Christmas spirit.
Okay, just happiness in the spirit of Christmas.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. That's interesting, isn't it? He's out there. Okay, parties.
Presents.
That was one that I was hoping would come here, and you gave it. Because we're talking about gifts here. Thank you. So, there's many, and there you could go on and on. You got lights, and you have Christmas carols. You have just many things. But probably for children, the whole thing of gifts is a big thing. We enjoy that. Now, if you see these gifts here, now supposing one of these gifts would offer health, just say this. Just supposing this gift would offer health and this one would offer sickness. Which gift would you take? Foolish question, right? Supposing this gift would offer life and this one would offer death. Which one would you take? Supposing this gift would offer light, and this one would offer darkness, which one would you take? Just a little example on light and darkness. Last evening I had a young man from the community. I never met him, and he came to borrow something. And I knew that this piece was in the barn at the very far end. It was very dark, no lights. I didn't have a flashlight. And so I go out in the barn. It's dark. Okay, we're talking about light and darkness. I don't care for darkness. Even at 44 years old, I just as soon have lights on where I can see what's around me. But I entered this barn, and the further back into the barn I went, the darker it got. And I was slowing down because I knew there were things around me, and all at once I ran right into the lawnmower, and this object was beyond that, and so I fumbled around until I found it. And then as I was coming out, this young man drove in and didn't know that I was in this dark barn. So he's entering the dark barn. And I startled him quite much. And so darkness is something we want to avoid. It's not a good feeling. So light and darkness. Joy and gloom. Supposing this would be filled with joy and would just give you joy. And this one would, you open it up and it just gives you gloom, sadness. That's what you would experience. What about, and this is the last little illustration, what about this one giving you heaven and this one giving you hell? And just be thinking about those two different places. Now, we have the manger scene here, and I have a gift here that I need someone to open. So, any of you children that want to One of you come up here. You just open it up. Come on now. And you open it up, and then you give me what you find inside, okay? Now, the title of this message is The Perfect Gift. You can open that up. The Perfect Gift. Now, it was interesting. Last evening, we wrapped this gift over there at the house. And I brought it over here, and last evening already, the tape was wanting to pop loose. And I would push it down, and this morning, yeah, you can keep that. This morning, we came in here, and my wife asked me, is that the way I wanted it? And both of the ends were flipped up, and the tape was coming off. So whatever is in there, it's having a hard time wanting to stay in. So I thought it was interesting to see. You can rip it. You don't have to be. There you go. Okay, just open up that top right there. Now just see what's in there. Okay, thank you. Just lay that right there. And in this cloth is something that is that belongs in this manger scene. So how many of you can see what this is? What is it, Niall? Baby Jesus, right. Okay. And Brother Jimmy, this morning when I walked in, the first thing he said is, where is baby Jesus? He recognized that baby Jesus was not here. That was good. And I'm sure others of you as well had. The perfect gift, and that is Jesus. Now the manger scene is complete. Baby Jesus, he's in his place. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Life and death. You see it here. We deserve death, but because of Jesus, because of him coming as a babe, living his life, dying for us, we now can have eternal life. This gift that is wrapped in swaddling clothes will give you everlasting life instead of a awful death that will last for eternity. This gift allows you to spend eternity in heaven. Eternity in heaven. Instead of an eternity in hell. And I don't want a message here that scares anybody at all. But there is two places where we will spend eternity. And it's either heaven or it's hell. And so we need to look at that and understand what that means. It says eternity in hell is the place where there is weeping. And there's gnashing of teeth. It is an awful place. A place where there is pain. And we're there for eternity. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that place, but we want to look at the place that gives us, that we have hope for as Christians. So, now, you see the difference between light and darkness, between heaven and hell. Now, let's look at what this gift offers us, and we said it offers us eternal life. Now, stop and think what eternal means. What does eternity mean? And you just cannot grasp it. I remember as a youngster, and even now, and I sit there and I try to think, okay, eternity. How can I try to think about it. No end. And then I think, okay, I'm going to come to the end. No, there's no end. And it goes on and on and on. Let me try to describe it this way. Suppose the earth, our earth, would just be just one solid block of salt made up of, you know, tiny little grains of salt. But it'd be just one big block of salt. And you'd have this small sparrow that would fly. And he would come and get one little grain of salt. And he would fly at his speed that you see him fly now. He would fly to the moon. I don't know how long that would take. But if he would fly to the moon and drop that little grain of salt off. And then fly back. And then he'd get another grain of salt from the earth. And then fly back and drop that off. Until he would be done. Brother Jan, where would eternity, where would we be at in eternity? It's just begun. It would take billions and, I don't know, it would take long, long, and then you'd just start over. Eternity is serious. We need to look at that. Eternity goes on and on. And it's up to us to make our decision as young people, wherever we're at in life. Jesus came as that perfect gift to offer us eternal life. Now, this gift is for everyone. In Acts 13, 38 and 39 says, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes, is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So Jesus came to offer this justification, to offer us eternal life. It was not given prior to this. He is our Savior, the Messiah. This gift today that we're talking about is being handed to you, to myself. What are we doing with it? I need someone to help me, and I've arranged this, so if that person could go to the little room. This gift that I have here in my hand is a gift that the Lord Jesus wants to give you, whoever you are. Some of you have already accepted this gift. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." And so it's talking about Jesus knocking. We hear that, and we can kind of picture that. And so as Jesus brings this gift, and this gift is the Lord Jesus, just like we unwrapped it. He came as a babe. He lived, and he died on the cross. As Jesus has come and is offering this gift to you, what are you doing with it? So let's just see a little bit maybe how it works, just so that you understand a little bit. So Jesus would come up to you, and you would knock at the door. Now, last evening I did something to this door that has changed its appearance. Any of you see what I'm talking about here from this side? What happened? Richard?
Took the handle off.
There's no way that I can get in this door. Okay? You personally, have to open your part door when Jesus knocks. Jesus doesn't come up like that door over there and just open the door and come inside and force himself in. He knocks at your heart's door. And then he waits. Sometimes he doesn't hear anything. And he has this gift, and he's wanting to offer it to you. But there's no answer. And so maybe there's a period of time that person he heard the knock, but he just didn't answer. And time can go on. It can maybe be a year, it can maybe be whatever amount of time. But God doesn't give up. And so he comes and he brings that gift again. And that gift may be brought to that person through maybe a happening or something they've read or a message that they heard. And that gift is being brought again. And he comes up to the door with no handle, but he realizes it must open from the inside, so he knocks. Someone's answering. He's asking who it is. And so Jesus then, he speaks and he says what he's there for. He says, "I have a gift and I want to give it to you. I want to save you from your lawful your future." And so Jesus talks to that person. So he asked the question, he said, "Who is it?" So Jesus says, "He is the Lord, he wants to come into his heart." Now, are you wanting to accept that? He said, "Not now, maybe later." And that makes Jesus sad when he hears that the person heard him, but yet he's still, he's not quite ready. He's not quite ready. And so, does Jesus just say, if gave him that chance and no more chances? No. The Lord Jesus doesn't respond that way. He's patient and he's considerate And so he realized there needs to be some more work being done. And so he continues to speak. And he continues to knock. And so he goes back again.
And it's, you know, when you're playing something, you have three strikes and you're out. But this is the third time. And depending on what he asks, the Lord will keep coming back, keep speaking. So let's see what happens. Hello? May I come in with a gift? He said, sure, come on in. The door opens up. And so I enter inside, place the gift there. And what a wonderful experience. And the person now has accepted this gift that they heard about. And they felt that knock, and they knew that knock. And so you see what happened here. There was a process, and this can be over a period of maybe a couple years for some of you. Maybe it's just a period of a couple weeks. But maybe that first knocks, you hear it, and you don't respond. Maybe the second couple knocks, you hear, and you're not quite ready. But maybe at that third time or whatever, that we then say, yes, come in. We are wanting the Lord Jesus to offer that gift. He does not give up. And so now, I would like for that person that accepted that gift to bring that gift out. He has opened it up. And so now, he's going to give the gift. Thank you very much. And so let's see what all this gift has to offer. Here's a gift now that has been opened up. And the person has accepted Jesus into their heart. They've opened up the door. And they've accepted Jesus into their heart. That's what Christmas is all about. This is why Jesus came, is to save each one of us from our sins. Let's see what's in the box. Here's something that says eternal life. We've talked about that a lot this morning. Eternal life. Here it is. This is what was in this box. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Eternal life, that's given to you. Eternity in heaven with the Father, as you continue to believe and to obey the name of the Son of God. Here's another one. This was in the box as well. And you can't pull this out and really have an object to describe it. You can only just kind of read what's happening here and then try to explain it. So this one says forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in order to have this forgiveness, what has to happen? I must, of course, open the door, and then I must repent. I must repent of the sins and admit that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. Luke 13:3, it says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If repentance does not take place in your heart, then you will perish. It's a scripture. And it's serious. But we have the hope and we have forgiveness that the Lord Jesus has given to each one of us. Here's something else that's in the box. It says victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus, through this gift, through this little babe that grew up and died for you and me. There's victory in this gift. There's also peace. Peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can experience peace. And prior to this, as you get older and you choose not to accept that knock and open that door, you don't have peace. I remember as a youngster when I would have done something wrong against my parents. And you don't have peace. You can't sleep at night. And things bother you. There's nothing like peace that only the Lord Jesus can give. That comes in this gift. Love. Here's another one. If you would, if you have your Bibles turned, there's about four verses here. In Romans 5. Romans 5, verses 5 through 8. Speaking of love, do we understand what the love of God is? Romans 5, verses 5 to 8. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. Because of the sin that we were born into. The love of God. We sang that song last Sunday, or parts of it. And I was just in my mind going through some of what that song said. The love of God, it said it goes beyond the highest star, and how far down? To the lowest hell. That's God's love. It doesn't matter your situation, where you're at. His love is there to lift you up. There's joy and happiness in this gift box as well. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Why not accept this gift? You're going to have happiness. You're going to have joy. Not that you will never experience sadness, but there's that peace, there's that happiness, there's that solid, lasting joy that you will have, that you will not have any other way at all. Psalms 144:15 says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." You will be happy. You will experience happiness as you accept this gift. There's one more here, and that's just the beginning of many, many. This one says hope. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God offers hope to you. God will give you hope. He will give you a future. You don't have to worry. There is assurance there for you as you accept this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Christian, there is hope. You think of Dan's mother and the passing. There's hope beyond the grave. It's just, for the Christian, it's just the beginning. For the unbeliever, for the person that had rejected this precious gift, it's a different story. Now, many of you here today have accepted this gift. Many of you have accepted the knock on the door. You've opened the gift. You've experienced exactly some of these things that we've mentioned here. So powerful, so wonderful, and I bless you in that. I accepted this gift as a young person out in our garden with my mother picking strawberries. That's where I opened this gift. That's when I accepted it, as my mom was talking with me. And God just, I was ready at that point. And so I accepted Jesus into my heart. I could take you to the spot, to the place. Such a wonderful time. The best decision that I could have ever made. And I'm sure each one of you has similar stories. But what happens is that we get this gift and we open it up and we kind of forget sometimes what all that gift has to give us. This gift just keeps on giving if we want to accept it. Jesus wants us to make this gift that will last all the times while we're here on this earth. It seems like we can be like a child sometimes with this special gift. And you give a child for their birthday or Christmas or whatever, you give them a nice shiny bicycle. They just have been looking forward to it. They get this bicycle and they ride it for a whole week or two. And then they park it. And that bicycle starts, it's not as fun as it was right at first. It's not quite that
excitement maybe. And so the bicycle sits now in the barn or in the shed. And maybe every once in a while they might mess around with it. But after a while the bicycle starts kind of rusting a little bit. The chain gets a little stiff. And the brake cables get a little bit hard to pull. And the tire goes flat. One of the tires, and you can't ride it like that. And it starts just not looking nice and shiny and new. Are we guilty as Christians that have received this gift to maybe somewhat do this with this gift? Is this gift maybe has a little rust on it? Maybe the tires have gone flat and a few things like that. Maybe you're experiencing a flat tire and maybe the brakes have gave out or whatever. Are you accepting this Christmas all that this gift has been given to you? Are you accepting of all that? So, let's just look at kind of what's there that sometimes we forget about. Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Maybe sometimes after we have that gift, we felt like the Lord has left us. Maybe that he's kind of walked out of our life because of a situation or whatever. But he's there. He's there. He says he will never leave nor forsake you. Isaiah 40:29, he says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." Remember those gears on this bike that I said were kind of froze up, and it's just in one gear, and so maybe you're hitting an upward climb, and that bike is one gear, and you just cannot make it, and you just about lay over, and you can't go anymore. God's word says that he gives power to the weak. He can take those gears and he can lubricate them, and you can change gears and you can move on up whatever mountain you're experiencing. Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you." These are things that are in the gift box that we sometimes forget about. We think we're all alone. What about trust? How well are you trusting in this gift? Here's where those brakes that maybe weren't working, you felt you're out of control and there's no trust anymore. But trust, realizing there's trust in the Lord, will keep you from crashing. Trust in the Lord. This is Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." There's light in here as well. Light for your path. Light to lighten the dark times. Don't experience the dark barn like I did the other night. Receive the light that is here. Accept it and let it guide you. John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Therefore take heed that the light which is in you be not darkness." So there's that possibility of us having that light and it becomes dark. And we lose our way. But God's light is there. We need to maybe reopen that gift in a sense. Maybe you're lost along the way. Maybe you're at a crossroads or whatever. Maybe you're just out on the dirt road somewhere. You don't know where in the world you're at. Proverbs 3:6, "In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path." It's there. It's in this box. It's in this gift. It's a crude illustration, but it's there. It's in God's word. Are we using this gift to its greatest potential at this Christmas season? It's there. It's for you as well. Now we have one gift here that needs to be opened. One gift left. And if John, you want to get that song ready. "Jesus came to be your Savior and Lord. He will save your lost soul." He will save it. He will give you life eternally. Versus life lost for eternity. Let's just see what's in this box. It's the last one we have here. The perfect gift. the perfect gift. And we opened up one, and it was Jesus. We say that was the perfect gift. Now, let's think about the perfect gift that you can give the Lord Jesus. Let's see what's in here. Bill, why don't you pull this out here. Open it up and see what it says. What does that say? That said, my heart. Thank you. Okay, the perfect gift. The gift that God wants you to give Him, young person, whoever you are, is your heart. That is what God wants you to give Him, is your heart and your life. He wants you to open the door and to let Jesus come in. That's what this season, Christmas time, is all about. We'll lay that right here. The question for you is, will you open your heart's door? Will you open that door? If you have never experienced this, if you've never said yes to the Savior, will you open that door? There's a song that Brother John's gonna play here, and I want us to just bow our heads, close our eyes while the song is being sung. And this song just... it says exactly what I've tried to say in this short time. And so as you listen to this song, the title of the song is called The Gift. The Gift That Will Change Your Destiny. Just listen to the song and let it just speak to your heart. So, Brother John, you can turn that on. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
One lowly night in Bethlehem, the world's greatest gift was given to the humble Virgin Mary. Christ came our sins to carry with a few poor shepherds to witness His birth. God gave His most precious gift to the earth. That night the gift was given that changed our destiny, that night lives on for eternity. So if you open up your heart and let the gift come in, life is yours eternally. One dark night at Calvary, a special night in history, nailed to the old rugged tree to set our sins free, with a heart that was breaking for you and for me. The gift gave the gift that keeps on giving. That night the gift was given that changed our destiny, that night lives on for eternity. So if you open up your heart and let the gift come in, life is yours eternally. One night, that gift was given to me. To the cross I was taken, my sins all forsaken. With a peace in my heart I could not explain. The gift gave me joy I cannot contain. That night the gift was given that changed our destiny, that night lives on for eternity. So if you open up your heart and let the gift come in, life is yours eternally.
Yes,
life is yours eternally.
Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that you've given this gift that will change our destiny. And we pray, God, that as you have spoken, if there's anyone here that has never opened their heart's door, if there's someone here that has heard you knocking but has chosen maybe not to respond, we pray that you would continue knocking and you would speak, and that they would accept this gift that you are giving, a gift of eternal life in glory with you. We pray for those of us that are here that have experienced this gift and that maybe are struggling with whatever the situation it is, that we could open up this gift in a fresh and realize that you're there and you will guide and you will lead. You will give power. You will give victory. You will give the oil, whatever it takes to give us courage to move on and to function in a good way. We just pray for whatever needs that are here, that you would continue to speak. Help us this Christmas season to realize that the true gift and the best gift is giving you our hearts and our lives. Guide us now and keep us. We pray this in your name. Amen.